Do you want to win some free footy merch?
Including some jerseys, the World Cup ball,
some World Cup merchandise, and a free case of Prime.
It's $5 for 10 entries, $20 for 100 entries, and $50 for 300 entries.
And all proceeds go towards funding Kick the Stigma.
Our charity soccer game with Toronto's top influencers and personalities is coming November 16th. Keep an eye out on our YouTube channel and be sure to enter that raffle. Welcome to the pod, boys. Of all Chelsea defensive midfielders, where does Moises Caicedo rank?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good question. This is crazy. Okay, so
all
low.
All time. First, so should I line up the options?
Yeah, go.
So you have N'Golo Kante.
Yeah. Okay, he's worse than that.
These were all like back-to-back, by the way. Chelsea's recruitment for CDMs is on crack. N'Golo Kante. Yeah. Before that was Nemanja Matic. Before that was John Obi Mikel. Before that was Ramirez. Before that was Michael Essien. Before that was Claude Makélélé.
Yeah, that's insane.
He might be better than like... You know what's interesting with Ramirez is while he was good... I think most of our love for him is blinded by FIFA nostalgia.
Yes. I think Ramirez is probably the worst on this list.
I think so.
Next to, elephant in the room. Anything like pre-John Obi Mikel, Ramirez era, a little bit before our time. We're not watching Michael Essien and Claude Makélélé.
Yeah, but just from pedigree alone.
I think out of the names I just ranked, it's Kante, Essien, Makélélé as the top three.
Makélélé, like, love Essien.
Yeah, 100%. But I feel like Caicedo is in that kind of conversation, or at least nearing it. He's in that four, maybe three spot.
I don't know.
Spot.
I mean, also, like, his tenure at Chelsea's still been really short. What has it been? 2.5 years now?
Yeah.
Caicedo?
And let's not forget the beginning.
It was bad.
The beginning of his stint.
I don't know. Like, I get it.
It wasn't great. Like, let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Also, I think we're doing... a little bit of a disservice to John Obi Mikel. That guy was a baller.
I think John Obi Mikel is comfortably ahead of him.
I think he's much better than what Caicedo is so far at Chelsea.
Really? Because I've been listening to mostly like Chelsea opinion because I don't want to do this. I want to do this take justice, right? I don't want to disrespect anybody unnecessarily here. But like even them, I'm hearing a little bit that John Obi Mikel, like while a fantastic player through his entire career, his stint at Chelsea was like a little patchy, a little here and there, a little
that is
long
true.
Stints coming off the bench. Like, you know?
I just think it's hard to really gauge how good Caicedo is for Chelsea because it almost feels a little bit reactionary.
Like exactly. It has absolutely been reactionary. I've been seeing conversations between him and Declan Rice, who's better. I'm like, okay, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
I mean, he's...
I don't know.
He could be in that conversation soon for sure.
I don't think it's far from that whatsoever, you know? Same thing as like Arda Güler versus Pedri. I mean, it's we're not having the conversation, but we gotta start preparing for it. You know,
we're just straying away from what's relevant now.
Saying that on Barca Kid is kind of crazy. Anyways, welcome everybody to the Sixer Box Podcast.
We're here.
Episode 127. We are indeed here, boys, and today we are going over Spurs' embarrassing loss at home to Chelsea. We are going over Liverpool, City, and Arsenal. Keeping each other on their heels in the Premier League title race. We had both Real Madrid and Barcelona getting wins. Bayern are absolutely dominating the Bundesliga to the point where it's getting kind of boring. Man United drew. And then PSG played some haramball, I'm hearing.
No, played against some haramball.
Played against some haramball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
and we won. Shout out Gonzalo Ramos. A little love-hate relationship I have with that guy. Anyways.
All that and more in this episode covering... the main sport going on this weekend. There was nothing else of note in the sports world, especially not in Toronto.
I told you I didn't want to talk about it.
How are you feeling, boys? Just in general. I'm going to start with you, Blake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Feeling okay?
Short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Feeling good.
Yep.
Yeah, feeling good.
Feeling good. Yep.
When the FPL is doing well, I'm doing well.
Oh, when the FPL is
not
doing
going well for me. But
when the FPL is doing well, I'm doing well. When I captain Holland, I'm doing well.
Exactly.
Imagine not happening. Anyways, let's start off, boys, with Spurs losing at home 1-0 to Chelsea. And I think 1-0 does not do the actual flow of this game justice. Spurs got booed hard after full time. Thomas Frank got ignored by Mickey Van de Ven and Jed Spence, kind of embarrassingly. And while I understand their frustration, I think that was absolutely pathetic from the two of those
players. It was an awful performance. Do you think it was pathetic from what Van de Ven and Jed Spence?
Especially Jed Spence.
Yeah.
I don't
Jed Spence, you could tell he's complaining to Thomas Frank a little bit.
A couple of stats for you. This is Spurs' lowest XG ever recorded So since the stat got invented in 2012, that is 504 games ago. This is their lowest XG they have recorded in a football game in at least 504 games.
That's insane.
That's crazy. And while they have the best record in the league away from home, they're fifth in the table. On the surface, it doesn't look like they're having a bad season, but they are 17th in home form. They have not really entertained the fans all that much with this pragmatic style. Obviously, last year with Ange, we were saying, oh, they need to be a little bit more pragmatic in some of these games. This year with Thomas Frank, it's almost the complete opposite. I'm hearing a lot from Spurs fans that they're not playing in a very Spurs way. Didn't know Spurs were really regarded as playing liquid Spurs football,
associated with good football.
But all right. Yeah. Anyways, they got absolutely crushed in this one. The fact it wasn't 4-5-0 for Chelsea is kind of insane to me.
Yeah. Thomas Frank, while he, on paper, like you said, does have a decent start to the Premier League season, it's very clear what kind of style of football he wants his Tottenham team to play, and it's the exact same style of football that his Brentford team was playing. Yeah. It's the long throws, it's the long balls, it's get the ball in the box, it's try to get a jammy goal in there, and maybe get goals on the counter as well. I think this was his worst performance of the season. I think it's very obvious that it was his worst performance of the season.
Yep.
But that goes to show how good Chelsea's performance was. And I don't think we can just fly past how good this performance was from Chelsea. Because from top to bottom, I'm looking at players like Reece James, who in the CDM position has played before, but wasn't really... He's not very proven in that position, let's say, for although sure. He's capable.
For sure.
I thought he had an incredible game. I thought Moises Caicedo, like we mentioned already, man, what a player. To do the work that he did on that first goal,
mm-hmm.
just a bulldog in there, getting the ball back and passing it to João Pedro. João Pedro had a good game too.
Yeah, right when I think him out. Yep.
The reason Spurs had such a bad game was because Chelsea really brought it to them and played at such a high level
That's fair.
They just couldn't compete.
Enzo Maresca said after the game that Caicedo is the best DM in the world right alongside Rodri.
I mean, that's when I start to draw the line.
I think we're getting a little...
Any manager will say that about their player.
A little ahead of ourselves there. I think Ugarte is very much up there instead, but you know...
If you had told me that 2 years ago when he was playing for PSG, I'd be on that train.
You were on that train until
yeah. I will never PSG and I will right away never were... forget Ugarte's first 4 months at PSG.
You absolutely scammed us. Absolutely scammed us. João Pedro, I mean, he could have had a hat trick in this game. Fun fact, he had not had a shot on target in the Premier League since August.
And why do you
game
know that
week
fun
three
fact?
Coming yeah. to this game?
Why do you
because
know that
I had him on FPL basically that entire time. I got sick and tired of him. Sold him for Mateta, who scored this week, to be fair. But again, he could have scored a hat trick in this game. I think. Very much it's surprising that he did not come away with this with more goals in this game. But Chelsea as a whole are going to feel like they could have gotten more, but they got the 3 points, so who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I said that he would be the better signing out of the two, or the better striker out of the
Delap
two. Yeah, and I mean, obviously Delap has had his disciplinary issues, I guess, if you want to call it that, besides the injury. But they need him. I know the goal was pretty straightforward in its sense, but they need him to do that. If he's not doing that, he's not doing his job. Simple as that.
What's our assessment on Xavi Simons up to this point?
Oh, I was saying...
I know Blake is excited to talk about this.
It's just poetic justice that all the Spurs fans were talking shit about Arsenal signing as a, oh, you know what? Like, as a footballer or as a creative player, like, Xavi Simons is the way to go over as a younger, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what the hell these guys were talking about, man. Like, you will talk about it more. You definitely watched it more than I have. But, I mean, outside of England, right. At least. But holy shit, he looks off it. Like, he looks like he doesn't know what he's... He looks scared. He looks tentative. He looks like the moment is too big for him right now.
Mm. I mean... I don't think I could resume that in a better way. He looks scared right now. My biggest concern with him at the beginning of the season, or for him at the beginning of the season, was his ego. I thought he was going to think that he was a little too big, quote-unquote, for the club, and I thought he would, you know, underperform because he thought he was too big or he thought he was a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it at PSG. I've seen it at Leipzig. He always thinks he's the main guy. That's why he left PSG. He was asking for too much money, all this. I mean, it seems to me like there's a clear... level or skill issue now.
Is it too early to tell, though? Is it too early for a verdict?
It also is true that his game is very dependent on his confidence.
Yeah.
And it's very possible that as soon as he starts kicking his stride, as soon as he starts scoring goals, one or two goals here, maybe one or two assists there, then he might actually start going on the up.
Yeah.
And it could go very fast. But
again, though, like you never know. Like once James Maddison, once Dejan Kulusevski is back, mm-hmm. then Javi Simmons might even be out of the lineup. I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, I think Madison's done for the season, I'm pretty sure.
That is true.
He didn't even start this game. He was it was Bergvall until he got injured.
That is correct. Yeah. No. So, hey, it's not looking good for them right now, but I think as a whole, Spurs fans who are calling for, you know, Thomas Frank to really switch up his ways, I think his ways are doing okay for now.
I mean, also,
I understand the frustration.
They're just not.
his ways, sorry to interrupt you, yeah. His ways are proven in the Premier League.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
it's hard to really go
the team itself isn't outstanding, guys. It's just not. Mm-hmm. They don't have the top-level quality that they used to have. Mm. Like, who is their Son and Kane right now?
I see them much more as a team than when Son and Kane were.
But they're not as good as the teams that had Son and Kane and Eriksen. And they're just not, bro. Like their defense is probably better, like as a unit maybe. But then you had Vertonghen and Alderweireld. So I don't know, man. Like Van de Ven probably has the better upside out of those players, mm-hmm. but he's injury prone.
So is Coutinho Romero.
Yeah. So like it's interesting, man. I don't know. I don't really care. But I don't know.
There's a lot of underrated players with high upside in this team though.
There is.
Like I'm thinking of Pat Matarsar, Lucas Bergvall, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Even they have a ton of those guys.
When Kulusevski comes back and Madison come back, like
they're building something.
Exactly.
And look, this was a horrible performance, but it doesn't change the big picture for either of these teams, where Spurs are a project that I feel like Thomas Frank can deliver on. Chelsea have proven time and time again that when they're on their day, they could beat anybody in world football. And this was one of those times where they were on their day.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
That's it. They're not consistent enough.
Without their best player either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Without their best player.
And yeah, they're not consistent enough.
They're not consistent enough. That's the problem. I think they have young players as well. Let's not forget, Moise Caicedo is only 24, lads. Mm. But like, especially in their defense, like they make too many mistakes to reliably mount a title charge.
Yeah.
Now, could they make something happen in the Champions League? Who knows? Who knows? Impossible to predict. But yeah, I think still, like, you're still looking at like the same upside on Chelsea as you did before this week. This doesn't really move the needle all that much. Doesn't really change any answers that we had on them. Doesn't really.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think off that we can move on to maybe the actual best DM in the world alongside Rodri. Do you like that?
Depends on who you're talking about.
Nico Gonzalez.
Declan Rice.
Sorry.
Okay. I don't know. I just never know what you guys are going to say
about
the league leaders. So
maybe we can be nice.
I thought this was a segue into City, Bournemouth, because Nico Gonzalez. But
we can go there if you want.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
Let's go to Arsenal beating
Bloody Burnley.
Burnley. No, I want to hear your guys' assessment of the game.
The mighty Burnley.
Actually.
No, I actually want to hear yours.
Because no, I want to hear yours. Actually.
I didn't even produce for this one on my end because I just figured your yap would carry us.
I mean, what can I say?
What can you say?
More of the same. I thought this game, more than ever, that we created a lot more chances in open play. So all the set piece, you know, satanic haters can cry more, essentially. But I mean, like, what more can I say, man? It's getting to that point. I know it's only 10 games into the season, but the recipe is there for Mikel Arteta. The defense is so solid, no one can break through. And the attack does their job. The players that are needed to score are scoring, and the midfield is locking it down, and we're creating more chances in this game, which is really, 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 I guess, not surprising, but uplifting from an Arsenal fan because there was a lot of open play chances. And Burnley never had a sniff. They had a free kick at the end of the game, and they did their job. I don't know. It's crazy to see the position that we're in right now. It really is.
You're kind of in that spot where City was all those years where, like, oh, yeah, we won, move on.
That's what we were saying last week.
Yeah, I heard that. I actually heard that.
My question for you, Blake, is how's it feel that you're going to finally win the league?
Well, I'm not there yet. So
really?
It'll feel cool and amazing once I'm there, but we're not there yet. Not even close.
When will you... Well, for you believe so far?
Yeah, I believe. I said we were going to win the league.
When will you really, like...
When we're lifting the trophy?
Okay.
Guys, I'm just going to make...
You're not making the same mistake you made 2 years ago?
I was going to make a baseball reference, but I'm not going to. It's never over until it's over, guys. Like, it really is never over. So there's just no point in me getting ahead of myself. I do want to talk about Gyökeres. We already talked about it before the pod started. Mm-hmm. But
his best
game in Arsenal shirt. Yes, you did.
It's just frustrating that I still have to seemingly fight for this guy's, you know, right to be in the Arsenal squad. It seems like for everyone else who doesn't watch Arsenal week in, week out with the same eye that I do, this guy's class, man. Is he world class, best striker in the world? Obviously not. Mm-hmm. Is he really good for what Arsenal need? Yeah. Let's ask, I'm going to ask you guys both a question, okay? Hey, 12, 13, 14 games of the season, a quarter way into the season, who would you expect to be Arsenal's top goal scorer?
The striker.
Okay. Who's Arsenal's top goal scorer?
The striker.
Okay, so.
Is he your top goal scorer?
Yes.
With how many goals?
He has 6 goals so far, is already halfway to what we needed to get to 10 because we had no one score 10 last year. Champions League semifinalist, second place off by like 5 points. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, it was 9 points last year, whatever. He's doing his job. Is he doing it in the flashiest of ways? No, but this game against Burnley was pretty flashy in my opinion. So
I told you guys that, again, Gyökeres can put up 6 out of 10s every single week and Arsenal will win the league. This is a moot point that we harp on so much every single week. Is Gyökeres a flop? Is he the best striker in the world? Like, I feel like it almost doesn't matter what he ends up doing. You guys are going to be fine. Yep. You needed a striker in there. Mm-hmm. All right? It could have been Erling Haaland. It could have been Danny Welbeck. You've got yourselves Victor Gyökeres.
No, it couldn't have been Danny Welbeck.
It could have been.
No, because I hate this narrative. Why didn't Havertz work? Who's a better footballer, Havertz or Danny Welbeck?
Because he's not an out-and-out striker.
Yeah, but
you needed the guy that could
stick up top. So why didn't Jesus then? Same thing,
he's done out-and-out striker? For the games against Burnley.
Yeah, but again, you're also just discrediting. This is why it's so frustrating every fucking game. And I don't want to talk about it for too long because we do have to move quickly in this pod. But the discredit that he gets by you just saying, you know, Danny Welbeck could have done a job in there because he's an out-and-out striker. No, man. Like, why can we not credit this guy for having the pedigree that he has in the Portuguese league while not the best league in the world? He's come over to Arsenal, has looked not fantastic, but has looked good, has looked solid, has scored 6 goals, scored 2 goals against one of the supposed best defensive-minded teams in the world in Atletico Madrid, has scored against the lower-end teams in the Premier League, but that's where Arsenal have struggled so often in their race to the title over the last 3-4 years, has been against the Burnleys, has been against the Crystal Palaces, the Brentfords, the Newcastles, who I know are definitely not a lower-end team, but it's been against those teams where they haven't scored, they needed a goal, and this season, with him in the squad, they passed all those hurdles. So no matter what you can say about him playing or him not scoring the goals you need him to score, he's been doing his job, and he's affecting a winning team positively. And that's why it's so frustrating when I see all this discourse online and I listen to you guys talk about him being so shit when he's doing his job well and it looks so and it reflects so in the table.
All right. Talk to me about the other 11 men on your team.
Because my problem, sorry, Blake, is I hear you defending Gyökeres and talking about how good Gyökeres has been. But this season, genuinely, I haven't heard you speak once about how good Zubimendi was so far. And he's been better.
Do you want to know why? Because he's good. Because I don't have to fight for the attention that he deserves. Because he's been good. As an Arsenal fan, I want to fight for my players who I think deserve the attention. We're not talking about Gabriel because he's the best center back in the world. At least right now. We're not talking about David Raya because, one, he doesn't face any shots. But, two, again, the best keeper, if not in the league, in the world, in my opinion. One of them, at least top 5. We're not talking about Saka, who's been, you know, solid this season, but he has the pedigree to keep on doing his thing. And right, Zubimendi
he's been incredible.
I think he's been slightly overrated. I think his earlier performances in this season were not as good as how he's been now. But overall, yeah, he's been exactly what we needed. He's been a party replacement that has been more than what we could have asked for.
Absolutely.
He's been fantastic.
What he's done so far for this Arsenal team is irreplaceable.
Yeah, and let's talk about the left side, which is kind of still an issue because we thought Eze would play there, but with Martin Odegaard being hurt, Eze was playing through the middle, and all of a sudden, with a more explosive central attacking midfield player, the left side kind of isn't an issue anymore. Trossard's been good, and so has Martinelli. They both have taken their reins in their own respective rights and done their job very well.
That's true. I mean, everything is going well right now for Arsenal, and that's why they're first. That's why it's reflecting in the table.
Yeah.
And in the Champions League table as well.
Yep.
does it concern you a little bit that you're not creating that much?
I just said we created a lot of chances in, against Burnley. So
but,
no.
But I'm talking from a wider sense.
Not at all.
Look beyond Burnley. Okay. Would it concern you a little bit?
Nope, because we scored four goals against Atletico Madrid as well. I'm not concerned. You know what? I can be concerned if we go to Bayern and it looks really bad, or we go to our next big game is against.
We have a relatively easy schedule.
Yeah, we have the North London Derby as our next big game. But again, we're going to get our chances in the North London Derby. Mm-hmm. So I'll be concerned if, you know, maybe in Jan or against Bayern, the wingers are neutralized and Gyökeres seems isolated up top. But as of now, there's no concern, man. The set pieces are something that we do so well, and like we're scoring.
Yeah.
Imagine being a player. Like, imagine being a player on that pitch facing Arsenal, and you're going to criticize them. Oh my God, all they score is set pieces. So defend it then. If it's such a simple tactic, then defend it.
That's a very fair point.
Anyway, we can move on.
The hate on Arsenal is always too much. Too much. Yeah. But hey, I think it should give you some solace that there isn't that much else to talk about with Arsenal. There's not much to pick apart. That's why people are maybe overstepping a little bit with the Gyökeres inspections. Maybe overstepping a little bit with the corners, because people got to leave with something.
What I've learned over these years is they always hate on the best teams. Like, I was seeing less hate on PSG before they won the Champions League than after.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
So it should serve you as a compliment.
Yeah, fair enough. Hopefully they keep going. We'll see.
All right.
Job's not finished.
Shall we go Nico Gonzalez?
Let's go Nico Gonzalez.
Tell me what you need to say about Nico Gonzalez.
I mean, do you want to talk about the game first?
We can talk a little bit about the game. You have Ryan Cherki to talk about. We have Nico Riley to talk about.
I have a lot to talk about.
We have a little
too.
Bit to talk about Donnarumma as well. Let's not forget.
Oh, yes. And look, I love Donnarumma, but I'm here for this. Because
this is his DNA, bro. He's done this all the time.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic keeper with a mistake blunder. In them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. What were you going to say before, Blake?
I want to talk about Bournemouth. So you can go City first, and I can talk about Bournemouth.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the game in particular. Like, I think this is so far the best game of the season. I think both teams.
Best game of the season?
100%. Really? Okay. 100%.
All right.
Maybe I'm forgetting one.
All right. Rio and Gamoa winning at St. James. Yes. Park.
Yeah, 100% the best game of the season.
I mean, quality-wise. Like, entertainment-wise, absolutely that game, yes. But quality-wise, I thought City had an incredible first half where Bournemouth came back and kind of held their own a little bit later in the first half. And then in the second half, it was both ways, and the quality of football was very good. There were players on that pitch like Ryan Cherki, like Erling Haaland. That connection I'll talk about later. But like even Doku, I like how Foden is coming back and kind of resurging in his career and finding form again. Like, I thought that the quality in this game was very good. Fuck, even Matheus Nunes had a good game. And you know when Matheus Nunes has a good game, and I'm mentioning it, that it means something is something good. So, like, honestly, I thought this was a very good game. And plus, it's in prime time, the number one game of the week, number two versus number four, and it delivered.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing that it was a solid game, but I think tactically Bournemouth just completely messed up with their setup in the first half, more specifically. But I think, man, the amount of chances that City had in the first half, it really could have been 3-4-1.
Yeah.
In the first half, like, Areola wanted to keep the high line, wanted to press, which is fine. But I don't know whether Senesi had like a vendetta against his team, or he bet on himself to have a terrible performance. But there were two instances where he stepped up and gave away so much space in behind that led to two separate breakaways that led to goals. And it's like, I get that's the system they wanted to play, but why at the Etihad do you think it's smart to play right on the halfway line when Haaland is ready to go in behind?
Because that is specifically what has bothered City over this last year. It's when the teams press high. It's when the teams actually try to go for a high press and push City to their limits.
I mean, yes, but at the Etihad, with not a fast back line, do you think that's the smartest thing to do? Especially when it happened once. You're going to not even be wary about it again. Senesi didn't even learn from his mistake. He stepped up again. That led to a breakaway.
I'm sure that's what was his instruction. Like, what were his instructions.
Even like if Arsenal played that high of a line against City away, I would be shocked. Like, I'm not saying you don't have to press them, but their back line was literally on the halfway line, essentially.
I understand.
That's shocking to me.
For me, I understand it because that's what's bothered City. this past year, and that's what's made them quote unquote so bad.
I suppose. I just think it's, I think Bournemouth went into that game feeling really good, and they should have. Mm-hmm. But their chance creation wasn't fantastic in this game. The goal they scored was from a set piece. Yeah. So, probably didn't count. But what I am saying is I think there was a bit of like showboating from Bournemouth. They went in, they thought they could play their game against City.
Really?
And it fell flat on their face. That's how I saw it.
Okay.
That's how I saw it.
I think it just came down to player quality in the end. I thought the tactics were there. I thought Iraola had an okay game plan. I mean, the hardware was there for him, and any team going into this game, that's any smaller team going into this game against City, I think would have done the same thing. Yeah. It's specifically what's punished City in the past, and it's just this week against Bournemouth, City finally mastered their game and a high press. They mastered playing against a high press. They played a perfect game almost.
Yeah. So who knows? Like, with this approach Bournemouth took, like, opening couple of minutes, David Brooks is through. He squares it to Kroupi. Kroupi is a couple steps back. He's onside. It's 1-0 in the first 10 minutes, and this is a completely different game we're looking at. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Kroupi had a couple of chances in this game. Like, Man City definitely had the better numbers throughout this game, but that wouldn't have been the first time someone went to the Etihad, maybe conceded more shots, and still won anyways. Like, this is the way you play against Man City.
Yeah. Really?
Because this is a vulnerable Man City.
Like, I understand, literally on the first goal, like, this is staggering. Like, this is staggering.
It's bad. It is bad.
Trying to play an offside trap in your own half.
Like, that's staggering. I understand, like, to be literally right on the halfway line, and I get it, they're pressing, they're trying to suffocate them, and City has been vulnerable to that. But what I think is unfortunate was that there was a recipe for success for that. I can admit that, sure. But for them to execute it so poorly is why I think there had to be a tactical change at some point in this game, mm-hmm. especially when they nicked the first goal.
You also can't look past the moment of brilliance that Hayan Shahi has with that header.
That was great.
It was a good header.
Come on,
bro. It was a good header. It was a good header.
It was the intelligence. It's just, this is him.
It was a good header. You're gonna be a homer. It was a good header.
Sure, maybe I'm going to be a little bit homer, but this is, like, it just proves his football IQ and his intelligence.
Sure, a through ball header, yeah.
And you wouldn't expect it out of Ryan Cherki, like, a header?
What do you mean? What do you mean you wouldn't
a
expect
header,
it?
A header out of Ryan
Cherki? Oh, my, yes, I would expect it. Bro.
It was on your bingo card.
He didn't jump 40 inches into the
No, he didn't. But
to get it over
come
Van Dijk.
Come on, dude.
This link-up, this Haaland-Cherki link-up is going to be one of the best we've seen in the Premier League.
You think so?
I think it can be. I think it certainly can be.
Oh my God. Yo, Senesi, I'm sorry, I'm watching it again. Senesi actually had a bet on this game. Like, I can't show that. Maybe we'll put a screenshot in. I don't know. But this is the second goal. Like, it's genuinely, it's mind-boggling what he does. The ball comes into Foden on the halfway line. Senesi, for no reason at all, tries to anticipate the pass to Foden when he's like 20 yards away from it. And look, he tries to squeeze him down, and he's Foden receives the ball. He's 5 feet away from him. One quick pass, and then Cherki again just plays it through to Haaland because Senesi leaves a four back when they're already playing a high line. He completely like vacates his defensive line, goes to try and press Foden. The ball is played sideways, so it completely negates his press, if you want to call it that, and Haaland's through again. I don't know, maybe that was a tactical thing by Iraola, and that's why I'm so frustrated, because why would he do it twice? There had to be some sort of message from Iraola saying close him down quickly because you're going to win the ball. That's what's frustrating to me, because for him to do it twice in the span of one half that led to the exact same goal, there has to be something wrong.
Are you telling me I should drop him out of my FPL?
No, because they'll probably be fine. But, like, do you guys understand where I'm coming from? I'm so heated that it happened twice in the same half. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Like, it's just staggering to me. It doesn't make sense.
Would you make the defending on the O'Reilly goal?
I mean,
should have stepped up.
He sort of stepped up,
but it's harder in that situation because Haaland. If you step up, Haaland is wide open.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then obviously they had possession in that play, so it was a little different. But, like, again, they're more set up to deal with it, and the turn from Foden is nice. But I mean, yeah, there's not really much.
You see Pep Guardiola blowing kisses at Foden after?
No, I did not.
Phil.
That's funny. That's so funny.
Fuck's sake.
But no, going back to the Cherki Haaland thing, like, I think it's Cherki specifically, and I don't want to I don't want to get too ahead of myself because it was two assists from Cherki to two goals from Haaland.
Yeah.
But I want to look beyond that and look at the actual link up in the game. It goes beyond the two goals and the two assists. It's them always trying to find each other and interlinking their play between each other. It was spectacular what I saw yesterday, in all honesty.
Fair enough.
And sure, it's only... You good? Sure, it's... immature Blake once again, am I right?
You're trying to make a clip. A little bit. No, I'm kidding.
Sure, it's only the first start in the Premier League since his injury, but... I mean, the proof is there, and the proof of Cherki's intelligence has been there his entire career. I think if this keeps going, they can be a great duo.
No, but we've said Savinho and Haaland is going to be a great duo.
No, but it wasn't.
We've said Doku and Haaland is going to be a great duo. We've said Foden and Haaland is going to be a great duo. We've said Reinders. We've said Marmoush.
I don't think it's
how many players have come and gone.
I don't think it's ever been as concrete as this.
Especially in the last couple of years, have been like, oh, watch out, him and
yes, no, I'm saying I don't think it was as concrete as this. We're getting to as close as it was with De Bruyne with Cherki.
This is not concrete. It's one game.
But I think we'll get as close to what it was with De Bruyne with Cherki.
Yo, I swear to God, this Champions League win has like gone to Antoine's head, and I think his takes have just.
What do you mean?
You've just become so much more of a homer than I've ever imagined you to be.
No,
so.
He was a homer to Ryan Cherki before PSG won the Champions League.
And he wouldn't even play in my club, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But you don't mind Lyon.
Played for a rival. Yeah. But no, I'm not like a Marseille kind of rival. But like still.
He's good, though. He is very good. He's very good.
He's insane. The way that Pep Guardiola is playing him, too, where he's kind of an attacking midfielder, but a little bit more tucked on the wing, if that makes sense. I think at that position, he can display his creativity the best. Right. And Nico Gonzalez in this game, top. I thought it was Rodri.
He did look good, which is not something that, you know, you want to talk about unexpected performances? Mm. Nico Gonzalez has had a weird start to his City career.
Very.
Playing time has been weird. Performances rightfully reflect that lack of game experience. But he was good today, or yesterday rather.
Mm. Yeah. Anything else to say on Man City versus Bournemouth? If not, we can move on to Liverpool.
Oh, this is Blake's show now.
I feel like this is more shitting on one team or one man more than it is praising Liverpool. But before we get into that, Blake, the champions are back to winning ways. Another loss would have meant they fall to the bottom half of the Premier League table.
So funny.
But 6-point swing, they're now up to third. Salah has hit 250 goals for Liverpool as well in all comps. He equals Wayne Rooney's single club record for Premier League goal involvements. So I'm sure you're going to give lots of love to Liverpool. Please go ahead, Blake.
Let's be honest. They didn't play their greatest game today.
Today?
Or on Saturday.
Yeah.
Was it Saturday?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
They really didn't. Was it the first goal? So they had the one goal that got called off. That was rightfully offside, sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to completely rip what you said earlier, but like we have to stop pretending that Emi Martinez is a good goalkeeper. We genuinely have to stop pretending because it's gotten to the point where his performances are so shocking that you cannot just live off of a one World Cup save that, let's look back at it, he closed out the angle well.
That was a great save.
Probably expect him to make that save, right? From where it was shot, he closed the angle well, he anticipated it well, it was shot right at his leg, right?
That was a fantastic save.
Fantastic save.
But it doesn't change your point.
No, it doesn't. And we talked about Donnarumma being a keeper who has a lot of quality but has a mistake in him. Emi Martinez has a mistake in him and doesn't have quality. So I don't understand why we have to look at him, and so many Aston Villa fans and goalkeeping fanatics are like, you know, he's such a great... Your opinions are wrong. He's bad. He's not good. He's not a great shot stopper. He's not good with his feet. He has a mistake in him, and he's proven it time and time again that he cannot play out from the back. He literally had no pressure on him, tries to play out to his left center back, goes right to Salah, doesn't even dive for the ball when it goes past him. He's bad. He's garbage. He's not good.
How that is a two-time Yashin Trophy winner?
I'll never know. World Cup means a lot, man. He was great in the World Cup.
It was his two Yashin trophies were during two international competitions.
Yeah,
Cup and the Copa America. And we know how heavy that weighs into personal awards.
Yeah.
Too much. Ballon d'Or as well.
Yeah, he's garbage.
Too much.
He's garbage.
I'm actually glad that you said you didn't want to rip me off. That's exactly what I wanted you to say.
Yeah,
wow. That is actually, you know what? That was fantastic. Yes. From you.
Blake
that was
fantastic is from you. As an Emmy Martinez hater, I wouldn't expect any less from you.
Yep. I hate him. He's bad. He's.
And I knew as soon as I saw that goal that Blake was already cooking it up.
United were this close to signing him, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It would have been so good.
He's also in our studio.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, but it's like kind of mocking.
I feel like we had to change these jerseys around.
Yeah, sometime. We can.
Yeah, we definitely we can. Need to. Yeah.
Arsenal jersey.
I feel like it's about time you put that Fabian Ruiz jersey on.
Yeah, yeah. There should be an Arsenal jersey up there.
We haven't missed him, man. It's crazy how
we haven't. We've never had a United jersey either.
Do we have a? No, we had the Rams. Do we have the Ramsdale jersey up there?
We did.
Yeah, okay,
we
fair.
Did for quite.
Which one do we have here before? Has it been Fabian all the time?
No.
It was something else.
It's been Fabian since maybe actually has been the whole time.
Maybe yeah.
Oh, since you had the
elite. It's been there before the Champions League final.
Yeah, fair.
Anyways, we'll get to that one day. But yeah, you're absolutely right about Emi Martinez. Again, like he's been widely regarded as like everybody just accepts that he is like one of the best goalkeepers in the world and one of the best goalkeepers of all time. But if he played for a high-profile club and these mistakes were on a bigger stage week to week,
100%.
Then I feel like his reputation is saved so much by him playing for Aston Villa.
That's a good point.
This mistake will not be playing on TVs in Argentina.
Yeah.
If he was playing for Barcelona, it would be. If he was playing for United, it would be. But the fact he plays for Aston Villa, like, let's be real.
Yeah. You know,
doesn't make a big difference as to his global reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch him more, so we know more.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But like maybe even as an Argentinian goalkeeper, when he plays for Argentina, he's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. So like I cannot
Different motivation. Yeah. There's a different motivation in him playing for Argentina versus playing for Aston.
Yeah, and we're not talking about Argentina Emi Martinez. We're talking about the player that he is every week in goal for Aston Villa, and it's not been good. It just has.
I think the fact that he's still at Aston Villa speaks volumes,
yeah.
to be honest.
Yeah, he literally said goodbye to the fans last year because he thought he was going to get his big move away.
Cost him Champions League in his last game.
Yeah, remember how he finished the season for them.
Yep. And what happened? He says goodbye, cost them Champions League last season, and no one freaking wanted him. So he stayed because no one knew he was good enough. Everyone knew he wasn't good enough. No one wanted to sign him, so he stayed at Aston Villa. What more proof do you need? For fans who want to defend this guy, that he's not good enough.
I feel like this is a personal attack to every single people that have replied to any clip of Emi Martinez.
And that one guy. You know what I'm talking about, bro. That one guy.
Guy that duetted Blake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In an alternate universe, Man United signed Emi Martinez and Sané Lammens went to Aston Villa.
Would have been generational.
Yeah, that would be great.
I know. United are so, like, they're not fun to watch anymore. It's annoying.
No, they're fun to watch.
Well, we draw points in this game. Shall we move on to it? Is this a good transition? Do you have anything else to say about Liverpool, about Villa, about Emi? Anything else?
I mean, Liverpool have a big game in this midweek. So
who's it against?
Huge game, Madrid.
Madrid. So this is this is the
Trent
test.
Is healthy for it now.
We are potting Wednesday.
I think we have to.
This is the test.
For Liverpool?
Yeah.
And for Madrid, too.
And for Madrid.
Oh, Madrid will win. They might not.
That will indeed be cinema. Yeah. Okay. Let's transition over to Forest 2, Man United 2. The streak is over. Buddy is not cutting his
hair. I love how everybody just solely focuses on that.
I know, that's all
so
you can think
I was
about.
Literally the only thing I see on social media.
I was hearing a debate that does this whole five wins in a row, cutting his hair, not cutting his hair situation add pressure to the Man United players? I want your opinions first before I give mine.
It could, honestly. Like, you can't
tell me. That's fucking ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous.
You can't tell me the players don't see this. You can't tell me the players
don't
see this.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
You don't think they care?
They should not give a shit.
To be fair.
But then again, it's Man United.
I saw a clip of Diogo Dalot talking about how important it was to get five wins in a row for that one guy. And then he switches off for four second goal and costs us 2 points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But counterpoint to that. Diogo Dalot was just shit. So
his fall off is really bad.
Not even a fall off.
No. A couple years ago, he was with Ten Hag, right?
Under Ten Hag, yeah.
He had moments, man.
Because
would look at him under Ten Hag and be like, that's one of the best fullbacks in the league. Don't lie to me.
He had a solid like couple of months, but it was in that period where Rashford looked like a Ballon d'Or contender.
Yeah,
Casemiro looked like the best CDM in the world. Bruno Fernandes was in his best form. That was before Kobe Mainoo, but Alejandro Garnacho was just coming through the team as well.
Yeah, fair.
And we were second to Man City, and you guys, we were quote unquote challenging for the title, and it looked great. So everybody looked good in that time.
Yeah.
And Diogo Dalot has always been at least decent going forward when he's able to kind of invert and shoot and not be forced across the ball because he is terrible at crossing the ball. Mm-hmm. But now that he's playing in a wider system, those problems are being exposed more. And defensively, he's always been a liability. And once again, he switches off for a second goal, and he's once again a liability. And he is once again at the scene of a crime. I'm not even saying that we look bad in this game. I think we look pretty solid. I think there's definitely, if you play this game 10 times, I think we win it like 7 or 8 times.
Sure.
We had a lot of good chances in this game. Ahmad could have won it right at the end. But even though the tactics are starting to show themselves a little more, even though the system is looking a little better, even though the players are more looking like they're willing to fight for the badge and give everything for Amorim, they're still responsible sometimes for these switches off, for these moments where you come out after the halftime break and within 2 minutes, 120 seconds, you go from being 1-0 up to 2-1 down.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to be susceptible to that. And no matter how good of a run of form we go on, let's not forget, these are the same players that bottled the Europa League, that came 15th last year, not completely their fault, but like, we're terrible. Like, Trey Ten Hag almost pushed Amorim under the bus and are not Man United worthy, a lot of them.
That's fair.
So let's still keep that in mind. But yeah, going away to Forest, new manager bounce.
Not terrible. It's not terrible.
Like, for our standards, like, whatever. I'll take it. Like,
yeah,
I guess.
Is Mbeumo signing of the season, lads?
Mbeumo?
Mbeumo signing of the season?
I think Cunha had a...
I know Cunha today. I mean, yeah, I guess Cunha probably had the better game, but Burmo as a whole, is he like one of the signs of the season?
He's been a sneaky contender. I think both him and Cunha kind of been on the same wavelength. I guess kind of like all four of our signings have been looking decent so far.
Well,
yeah.
Bar one.
Sesko, you think is on fraud watch?
Okay,
it's getting there.
Okay, it's so there. There's guys.
He didn't have his... No, he did not
there,
play.
If we're criticizing Gyökeres for having a good performance...
No, but the thing is, I've watched more Arsenal games this season than Man United games, so I can't really comment on Man United that much.
Sure. Yeah, this was Sesko's... Definitely Sesko's worst.
Same price tag, by the way. Actually, Sesko's more expensive, but anyway.
Yeah.
So you'd expect more. But.
No, you wouldn't expect more because Sesko's younger and you're also buying potential.
Oh.
Anyways, no. He had a pretty rough game. It's not the end of the world.
No.
Like, you go up against like two of some of the most physical center backs in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You're going away at Forest. It's a tough fixture. They sat back a lot of the game. Like, yeah, it's gonna be tough sometimes.
Fair.
So.
Fair.
That's all.
Fair.
Like, yeah, he had a rough one this week. What else? This game also marked 1 year since Amorim got announced as United manager.
Made it to 1 year.
It was that quick into the season?
Will he make it to 2?
Yeah.
Blake?
I think he will.
Yeah,
me too. I think he will. I think United's
going to come good.
I think United, like, low-key finished 5th this year.
Whoa. We've had a big switch on Amorim in the past couple of weeks.
No, I've already...
I haven't heard this kind of praise to him.
No, we've always been Amorim... Decent truth.
I was losing my patience.
I was too.
It was just funny. I feel like I've never been like Amorim needs to go. I've always been like Amorim needs to stay because it's funny that they suck.
That's why.
But I've always been like you gotta give him time. Like, I've always said that I've been annoyed with the way he does interviews and I kind of don't always agree with his tactical decisions. But there's a system there that you can see kind of sort of maybe works.
I'm gonna have to look through the tapes and HMRC approve you on that one, but we'll see.
No, man. Like, I see what he's
doing. The tactics are definitely starting to shape up. It's just, for me, it's his decision making in the game. That's what was bothering me.
Yeah.
Before, and I want to see if it still bothers me when the game is going well and the game goes in United's favor.
What happened in the 47th minute is not Amorim's fault. And it's situations like that where it's like, you know what? We could have lost this game. People would have been hating on Amorim, but Amorim wouldn't have been at fault for this one.
Yeah.
We've had so many of those games over the past year. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Definitely see the issues with the system. I still think Bruno at the number eight is like a little, still verdict is out on it. But if Bruno's going to play number eight for Cunha and Mbeumo cooking in the tens, then, well, you know.
Got to do what you got to do.
Maybe you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I think it's been a solid year, some okay progress. Obviously, expectations for Ruben Emery are on the floor. Statistically, this is like the worst start any manager has had in like 30, 40 years for Man United. So it depends how you want to see it. I think how we're looking at it right now is also very much rose-tinted glasses because of the last four games.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but that matters, though.
Of course it matters, of course. I mean, last time... I mean, I don't mean to kind of throw strays here, but last time Miles was on the pod, Amorim was like one result away from getting the sack.
I know.
And
you know?
Now he's relatively safe.
And now we're saying he's done a great job.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
Crazy how quick things change.
And I'm not hate watching them anymore, you know?
Do you feel sad that you're not hate watching them anymore?
You know, like things are different now. Now that I'm looking down instead of looking up, there's less hate in my life. Mm.
Looking down, but looking up.
Like looking down on everyone else from the table.
Because he's first.
Like there's more hate in my heart.
I see. Because you've been looking down on United for a good couple of years.
Right, but when I'm looking up at others, it just makes me hate everything. So when I'm looking down on everyone else, I can just like watch from.
So we get a better version, less reactionary, less hateful version of Blake when you're first.
I think so. Maybe. You guys played well. Like, I'm, you know.
What's your verdict on Lahmann so far? He's been fantastic. Expert of the pod.
He's been fantastic.
No.
He looks confident. And my biggest judge of a keeper is how they deal with crosses. Because that, in my opinion, is the hardest thing to do as a keeper.
Donnarumma.
Yeah. Well. Which, again, may be a bit naive. But dealing with crosses, dealing with corners, I think is one of the hardest things to do as a keeper. But it's one of the things that you must do well to be a successful keeper because it happens so often.
Yeah.
And so many things can go wrong if you don't deal with them properly. Whether it's a punch out, whether it's claiming it. You just have to be assured. And he's been assured from what I've seen in those moments. His shot stopping's been fine. His playing out from the back has been like good too. So, but he looks assured when there's moments of balls floating in the air in the box. He looks assured. And that's what Onana had never done for Manchester United.
Yeah.
Or by Inter.
Yeah. Again, I have no idea if we have our hands on like some diamond in the rough or if it's literally the fact that like even an average goalkeeper looks fantastic after having Onana by Inter.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm very happy. Yeah. I'm still, like again, like I was saying last week, like it's been a long time since I've been looking forward to the weekend because I get to watch a Man United game.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I also think an underrated aspect of this team is how much only playing one game a week is helping players like Casemiro.
Yeah.
Because the fact that Casemiro is able to start and he's able to like kind of like give everything without having to like reserve himself or come off early or do anything to have to give Ugarte minutes. It's fantastic. And he scored in this game as well. He's been looking like, I don't want to say his old self, but he's been looking a little bit better compared to the last season or two. Mm. And I think that is largely due to the fact that we're only playing one game a week.
Can't wait for the football domino effect. Grimsby Town knocking out Manchester United made them make top four.
Yeah. I'm going to catch him off guard right now, ready?
Yeah.
How'd Benfica do this week?
We won 3-0 against Panathinaikos.
He's on FOMO right now.
Wait, hold on. I need to actually.
Against who?
I need to.
Against who?
Vitória Guimarães.
Good job.
Guimarães.
Who do you play at midweek?
I don't know. But we've lost three Champions League games in a row, so it's important.
Yeah, you're last, pal.
I know. I know. We're cooked. We are cooked.
Do you guys like this sweater, by the way? I don't wear it often.
It's good.
I don't mind
it's nice.
I don't like the red to the blue, but it's kind of Arsenal coded, I guess.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
You always have really nice sweaters. They're like oversized things.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, I need to get on my game with that.
Yeah, thank you, dude.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
I'm gonna.
Thank you.
Sometimes in pods, yeah, like, it'll be, we'll be talking about Liverpool. How did Benfica do?
Yeah.
And then he'll have
who scored?
Who did score? See, now he has FOTMOB, though. So he's pretending to think, but he's just seen it. Bang!
You know what? Fair.
You love it. you love to see it.
Okay.
I read this guy like a book, bro.
What else happened this week, guys? That was kind of all the big games.
Speaking of Benfica and speaking of Man United, we got to talk about Real Madrid and we got to talk about Barcelona. I actually had a question for you guys.
How do those link?
Carreras. and Rashford.
And Rashford. Wow.
That's not bad.
Dude, like, that's hosting.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's hosting.
A question that was kind of floating around my timeline this week that I thought was, like, a little bit premature, but I want to get your opinions on it. Mm. Did Man United make a mistake letting Rashford go?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
He has the joint second goal involvements in La Liga behind Mbappe and tied with Julian Alvarez. Mm-hmm. I mean, a sneaky, great signing from Barcelona.
It was a good signing, but I think we predicted that it would be a good signing because of the situation
exactly.
he was put in.
That's a good
exactly.
point.
You look at the situation he was in at Man United, it was never going to pan out yeah. the way it's panning out at Barcelona right now.
Exactly.
He would have never found the form he's at right now if he had stayed at United because he was down, he was upset with the club. But now he's in Barcelona, a beautiful city. Definitely has he goes out probably every night, like, you know, he has yeah. fun over there. He's in a good mental space to perform and to play yeah. football. And throughout Rashford's career, anytime he's been in a good mental space, he's performed.
Yeah, if he was still at United, he'd either be forced to play the 10, which doesn't really work, not the same profiles in Bruno and Cunha, or he would be the striker taking away minutes from Benjamin Sesko and kind of graveyard shifting over there. So,
yeah,
I'm very happy for him.
No, I'd agree.
Yeah, I'm happy for him too.
I hope eventually he comes back, and then either in the worst case scenario, Emery is gone, we're playing a different system under a new coach that fits at Rashford more, maybe we could reintegrate him, but more than likely, it will be we kind of move him on, get a good fee, and it'll be a very sad day.
I think that's the one knock on Emery, is that his system is very specific. So when you're looking to recruit players and you're looking to shift off players when he came in, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Because his system is very specific. So that's the one thing. But whatever, all you said about Rashford is so true. Like mm-hmm. he has the freedom to be Marcus Rashford in Barcelona. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can
yeah.
do the you know, not so kosher things on the outside of the pitch and be himself when he's on the pitch.
And think of the weight that just dropped off his shoulders after moving to Barcelona.
Like yeah.
He was pushing for that move hard because yeah. of all the pressure yeah. that was with him at United. And now he's free. There's no other way to put it. He can play freely without that much. I mean, at the beginning of the season, without that many expectations on him, if we're honest.
Yeah. And injuries have aided him with his playing time too, right?
Yeah.
But still.
Has it?
Because Rafinha, right?
Rafinha. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. That's true. That is true, actually.
But still.
Barca won 3-1
against... Do not let the stats deceive you, though, because he was ball hogging in this game against LJ. Oh, my goodness.
Was it 3-1.
3-1
against Valencia?
Against Elche. Valencia was Real Madrid.
Oh, I thought Real Madrid was against Elche.
I forgot Barcelona had Rudy Bargy, eh?
Yeah.
What a weird signing.
He's been okay,
really?
Honestly. Yeah, like okay. In his cameos, he's been decent.
Okay, cool.
Is single Lamine Yamal just...
Oh, single...
I didn't even know he broke up with his girl.
I mean, I literally saw it the day of, and then that's what made me... turn on the TV just to see
his performance, right?
The post breakup Lamine Yamal.
Can I talk about his injury quickly?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, please.
The way that Barcelona are outsourcing it, I don't know if it's a language barrier
it has to be.
But they're like pubalgia, pubit, whatever. It's a sports hernia, which is common in hockey players a lot. Essentially just like all the torque that your groin has to go through when you're skating. It's essentially just like wear and tear of your groin over time.
So it definitely probably has to do with his age then and how he's being played week in,
yes,
week out.
Yes, yes.
So you're saying Lamine Yamal is such an all-time great dribbler of the ball that his body can't physically take how talented he is?
Genuinely, yes. Genuinely, yes. That's a great way to put it. Because he, out of more than any player... No, like, let's think about it logically. Him out of any player that I've ever seen is so adept on the ball. He has the ball at his feet, squeezing his muscles all the time, whenever he's touching the ball, right? So if that's over and over and over again, he's getting hacked every time he gets past a player, that's going to affect you. So the sports hernias can dissipate, but they can linger. So it's something that you can like deal with, but they can also be pretty bad depending on the severity.
It's actually very good information.
Yeah.
So he has been practicing safe sex.
Yeah. So sports hernia, if for like more English-speaking people, it's sports hernia.
Julian will never stop having to dig
in
the mouth.
I know. Because apparently...
Did you not just hear the glaze I gave this kid?
Yeah.
No, because I think...
That was maybe all-time phrase.
I think someone else has it too. Doesn't someone else have it?
Pubic area?
No, like someone else has it. I'll find it.
I don't know, man. I never heard Messi have a pubic area injury because of his dribbling.
Anyway.
Like, yeah, I've never heard of this injury ever in football. Are we sure he's not?
Matt Santuono also has pubalgia. Oh,
this is like a new age thing. Like
a sports hernia. Yeah,
they're moving to new cities. They're discovering life as teenagers in Madrid and Barcelona.
Oh my God. Does Cole Palmer have it too?
No way.
I saw a meme on Twitter. Let me look. Hold on.
There's no way.
Okay, you can talk about the game though.
I think it was like a good. It was actually. Okay, whatever. Anyways. Yeah, not much to say about this game unless you have something else, Antoine.
It wasn't an easy game for Barcelona going into it. Elche have been sneaky good this season. I think they were sixth before going into this game or before the match week started. So definitely a bogey game. It could have been a bogey game. And Elche kind of brought it to them. I think Barcelona were able to capitalize on Elche's defensive mistakes, and that's ultimately what made the score go up to 2-0 at the beginning of the game, and then it was kind of dead. It was kind of killed from there.
Who was the Elche striker on FIFA? Like a while ago.
Rafa Mir, you're talking about?
No, there was like one who was...
I know who you're talking about, the bald guy.
Yeah, kind of big.
Well, now it's Andre Silva.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to give a little bit of love to Fermin Lopez. He got 2 assists in this game. This man has quietly been on like an insane run of goals and assists for Barcelona. Yeah. In his last... 7 games, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 goal involvements.
That's insane. That's insane. And he's been crazy. Sneaky good, kind of going under the radar, even if he scored a hat-trick against, who was it against in the Champions League?
It was Olympiakos they won 6-1 against. Yeah.
I mean, it's been sneaky, but he's been such a good player, linking up the play between... the striker, between the wingers. Like, he's just been that guy that you give the ball to, and in the box, he'll find something for you. And it's insane because you wouldn't really think that he had that kind of responsibility on him before the season started. You thought it was Olmo. And now people are saying Olmo is kind of shit, and Fermin is taking on that role.
To be honest, I'm such a casual. I did not even think he was... I didn't know how good of an attacking midfielder he was. I more saw him as like a kind of box-to-box, kind of like...
Yeah.
Dog in the midfield rather than a, you know,
what he will do. He presses though. Like
that's on me, man.
He is definitely a dog for sure. 100%. Maybe not in that box to box role, but he is a dog. Like, he presses.
Yeah. Not much else to say on Barcelona. They keep up the pressure after losing El Clasico last week. The gap remains 5 points after 11 games played. Over in Real Madrid's game, again, didn't watch it. They won 4-0 against Valencia. Mbappe scored 2 goals. Oh, he's continuing his Ballon d'Or run, good. I suppose.
Quick question,
and then you
boys.
Said Bellingham is...
Yes, Bellingham had a great game. Monstrous game from Bellingham, I thought.
Ask your question.
Definitely, yeah, sorry. Quick question. Who do you think has had the best start of the season so far? Haaland, Kane, or Mbappe?
Mbappe.
Kane. Yeah, I think it's Kane.
You think it's Kane?
I don't know.
No, because Kane, you got to consider...
But scoring in the Bundesliga is like easy.
No. But I think you have to consider the overall team performance and records that Bayern Munich is setting. Like,
that's fair.
They have smashed the all-time record for most wins in a row to start a season. I think the record before was 13. They're already at 15 with zero signs of slowing down. They just came up against Bayer Leverkusen, who, for all their quality and maybe some problems this season, but for all their quality challenging Bayern over the past couple of seasons, they made... so light work of them where, like, I'm considering right now if, like, this is peak Bundesliga Farmers League or if Bayern are just that good. In the Champions League, they've been just that good as well, and Harry Kane is a massive part of that.
Harry Kane.
I think you guys are writing off Haaland a little too quick.
Mm.
Guys, 68% of City's goals this season have come from Haaland.
Yeah.
And it's not, for me, like previous years where the goals you just like, yeah, they're goals. They're okay goals. Like, he's scoring good goals. He's finding, his finishes are tidy, as tidy as ever. 68% of City's goals come from Erling Haaland. That's insane. That's nuts.
That's true.
But then you also look at Mbappe, who is having an all-time season already, and Kane as well, who maybe it's because of the team's overall success, like you mentioned, but it also is having a crazy season.
I fucking love Mbappe, bro.
Really?
I really do. Yeah. I like him a lot. I feel like I've been on that train, no?
You have. It's easier to love Mbappe as like a guy that hasn't.
Yeah.
That's how I want the story to end well. I want him to get his Champions League.
Me too. 100%.
Champions League, Ballon d'Or, right off to the sunset.
Exactly.
And then
maybe don't retire.
Just not this season.
Maybe don't retire.
No, this season. Absolutely this season. If not now, then when?
Well, I'll sacrifice it to Champions League.
Champions League. I thought you meant Saka Ballon d'Or. I was
No. He can win Ballon d'Or. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
But, okay, yeah.
Champions League. Yeah. I was feeling very Miles, but I just did there. Didn't like it.
Are your favorites for Champions League maybe like PSG, Bayern, Real Madrid right now?
I mean, PSG, Bayern, Real Madrid, Arsenal. Yeah.
Just because of how good the Real Madrid team looks right now.
You've conceded 2 goals from open play the entire season.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. You guys look like monsters defensively. Yeah. Wait, but they look like monsters offensively, which you cannot say.
Yeah, fair.
So, you know, pluses and minuses, right?
Can I ask a question? Unless we're not done with Real Madrid.
Not much else to say on Real Madrid besides the fact that Alvaro Carreras is a monster. And we let him go to play Sergio Reguilón instead.
Goal. Yeah, yeah. Carreras slowly becoming a very, very good left back.
We just knew this was going to happen.
It was a rough start.
I mean, yeah.
It was a rough start, but it's exactly what Real Madrid needed at the left back position.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That goal was fucking insane.
I'm trying to find the percentage of goals that Real Madrid, that Mbappe scored for Real Madrid and Kane has scored for Bayern this season, but I can't.
I mean, Bayern scored a lot of goals. Yeah. Okay, so my question is, this is a Prem question, obviously, because, you know, Prem tax. But who's been the most underrated Premier League player this season?
Most underrated Premier League player?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jadon Anthony.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Great pull.
Yeah,
great pull.
Let me give you one.
I don't have
I'm going to go. So. I'm going to go with, you guys are going to hate me for this, another home
Sunderland pick. Player.
No. Oh. Bournemouth player.
Oh.
Adrien Truffert.
Left back. Fair.
You know what? That's a really good show.
Seriously, like, he's come in and almost made everybody forget about Kirk.
Yeah, that's a really good show.
I'm seeing Bournemouth fans saying that he's a better version of Kirk.
Yeah. No, that's a really good show.
He's been very good.
I thought you were going to say Ronald Roofs.
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 I thought you were going to say someone.
Who?
Someone Sunderland.
In Isidore, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's interesting, though, is it's crazy that Bournemouth now have another, like, Latino right back.
And he's good, too.
And he's really good.
He's good.
And it's like,
he's good.
Where'd you come from?
Is that just their right back quota? Like, they had, what's his name?
Julian Araujo.
Yeah, Araujo.
And Jimenez, bro.
Yeah.
This Jimenez guy's decent.
It's like, and they're like low-key the same archetype, too. Yeah. Like, it's funny.
Who do you think it has been the most underrated player?
I don't know. I asked the question. I really didn't have an answer. Like, I really didn't. It's probably someone on Sunderland. Like, I could say Xhaka, but he's been pretty...
Like a Dan Ballard or something?
Dan Ballard's been good.
I mean, I would have said Senesi before this performance.
Give me an answer.
Performance.
No, I feel like Senesi's still there.
No, let me
give me an answer and reasoning. And Julian, give me your reasoning right now.
Yeah, let me look for a second.
I feel like every single week I'm seeing that Jadon Anthony has been involved in a Burnley goal. And Burnley goals aren't coming all that often. So every single one is worth their weight in gold. And Jadon Anthony is the one providing, like, the vast majority of them. You mentioned Haaland is involved in most of City's goals. I'd be curious to know how much of Bournemouth's goals involve Jadon Anthony. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. No. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I'll go Xhaka, I guess.
Xhaka?
Yeah, which is kind of a cop-out answer.
Ooh,
I asked the question. Ooh. I didn't have an answer. You know what probably is? It's probably like one of the center backs.
How about NDI? Yeah.
I wouldn't say underrated, too. Though.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's, yeah.
You, like, it could be like someone on, I'm looking at Palace's team. Like, they've kind of been hovering good. Like, Munoz has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Chris Richards or something.
Chris Richards has been okay.
Yeah. Who else?
Minte?
Joachim Anderson.
Minte. Joachim Anderson's a decent shout. You guys know I like Joachim Anderson.
Yeah.
Even like a Michael Keane or something.
Yeah.
Someone that's like an underrated piece of a team that's like overperforming
Can I ask another question?
Go on.
Guys, are West Ham going down?
Oh, no. Yeah, I think that's kind of locked in.
They just won 3-1.
Okay,
against Newcastle.
I know, but Newcastle, that's a whole other story. But besides that one performance.
No, they're not going down. I guarantee you they're not going down. They have Nuno Espirito Santos at the helm. They're not going
down.
Okay,
that might be fair. Yeah, that might be fair.
Guys, did Callum Wilson score a goal? Like, that's not really...
I promise you they're not
going down. Which is my boy, you know?
Three favorites.
Or he didn't even score, sorry, but he played.
Wolves are probably going to go down. Burnley are probably going to go down. Leeds are probably going to go down. Forest and West Ham probably going to overtake them. That's what we're saying.
I don't know. West Ham looked bad, guys. Like, who was... I was listening to something. One of the pundits was saying that West Ham looked like the most unathletic Premier League team that they've ever seen in their entire existence of watching the Premier League.
That's crazy.
And like, you look at the
team. That was during That was Graham Potter time.
They look a little better now.
Are you saying that now?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think, well, okay, wait.
There's no way.
When did Graham Potter come?
There's no way. Somerville, the Oof. They got energy. They may be
Do you? Okay.
But they got energy.
Okay. Wilson? No. Paquetá is like not really. He's good.
Wilson is your main striker, I will say. A little problematic.
Yeah.
Max Kilman, not great.
Yeah.
Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka is physical.
Yeah.
But once again, maybe a little meaty.
Yeah. Bowen's not really.
Mateus Fernandez can't really speak on.
Yeah.
Potts can't really speak on.
Freddie Potts, bro. Who is this guy?
Maybe you can make an argument for like a. No idea. But hey, they need a new midfielder. So
yeah,
we'll take it. I mean, like, you can make an argument that for Premier League standard, it's not there, but.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Good way. I don't really want to touch on the Newcastle game, but that's disappointing. Like, that's really disappointing from their perspective.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of can't happen. Premier League's so weird this year.
Let's say a quick word about Bayern, and then we could kind of wrap this episode up, boys. Sure. Again, like I kind of mentioned it, it's kind of peak Farmers League over in the Bundesliga.
It's crazy how it's against Bayer Leverkusen. You feel the weaker team than what you're normally used to. And you still just
disrespectful.
3-0 at halftime and just cruise control in the second half.
That's just disrespectful.
Insane.
It's disrespectful. They are 5 points ahead of Leipzig after 9 games. Leipzig are having a decent season.
They are having themselves.
Which isn't that big of a game.
But when they played each other, it was 6-0 Bayern. So.
Yeah.
It's just like
Nicholas Jackson scoring for them.
And he's not been terrible, by the way.
No, he hasn't.
He's never been terrible, though.
Yeah, I've always seen something in that player.
Yeah.
He's just very clownable.
Yeah, very clownable.
Very clownable.
Very clownable.
I think that hat trick is
so
still on people's mind.
Fifth in the Bundesliga has +4 goal difference. Fourth is Stuttgart with +4. Dortmund in third with +9. Leipzig in second with +9 goal difference. Bayern
Let me guess.
First.
+27.
You're so close.
+29.
Oh.
Wow.
I swear I didn't look.
But that is a 20-goal jump.
That's insane.
That's so stupid, bro.
Scored 33 goals, conceded 4.
How does this happen, bro? Like, I don't get it.
Again, I think we touched on it last week or previous weeks, but the fact, like the job that Vincent Kompany is doing, crazy. Oh,
this Leverkusen team is so funny to look at.
We were talking about it last week, actually.
Holy shit. Mark Flecken, Jarrell Kwanzaa. Loic Badé.
Loic Badé scored an own goal.
So Bayern go to Parc des Princes tomorrow. What happens in that game?
I'm so excited, but I'm nervous a little bit.
Champions League is good this week.
Champions League was not good last week.
I'm really glad that we're recapping it. We're able to pod.
Yeah.
Hopefully nothing comes up and we're actually able to pod.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah.
W.
What happens in that game?
What happens in that game?
Do you think? I want a quick prediction.
2-2 draw.
Most of our team is back. We've seen what happened in the Club World Cup. I thought it was probably one of the best games
World
Cup.
Do you think Dembele will start?
I think he should start for sure, yeah.
So that'll be a front three of like Vara, Barcola, Dembele?
Yeah.
I don't hate that. That is cinema. Fabian Ruiz
João Neves is back.
Do you think?
I don't think Fabian Ruiz is.
So be Vitinha, João Neves, Zaire Emery probably?
Yeah, or maybe Mayulu. I'd rather lean Mayulu in my opinion.
Really? Okay.
Oh, 100%.
In the midfield three?
Yeah.
Okay.
When Zaire Emery isn't the main guy in the midfield, he doesn't play well.
Interesting.
Yeah. When he's kind of used nowadays as a backup to Hakimi when Hakimi comes up whenever he's playing. So that's when he's kind of isolated out of the play.
He drops back.
And that's where you'll see most of the mistakes coming from.
Dare I say, Zaire Emery is getting the Emil Smith Rowe treatment soon, where like he was a budding star alongside the rest of the stars, but other people have taken over.
He did it to himself almost. Like, sorry, Fabian Ruiz is back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just came back. I forgot. Yeah.
So this is nearly a full strength PSG team.
It is a full strength PSG
team. This will be fun tomorrow. This will be fun. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited now.
It'll be fun.
If we do a little watch along tomorrow, that should be optimal. If you're available. We'll see.
Yeah. I think so. I just might as well stay home.
I don't see why not, to be honest.
We'll see. All right. Looking forward to that. I'm going to go 3-2 to Bayern.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
High scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be high scoring at all, actually.
Arsenal play Slavia Prague. Napoli play Frankfurt. Atletico play Union Saint-Gilloise. Bodo Glimt play Monaco. Juventus play Sporting. Liverpool play Real Madrid on the same day. God damn.
Yeah. Mm. Big game. On, play big day on Tuesday.
Okay. Okay.
May I do an FPL roundup?
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Go on.
We end it off.
Go on.
So I'm in last this week because I didn't captain Haaland.
Not confirmed, though. You could be first.
You know, you could.
Isidore could score a hat trick.
Yeah.
And then
bang, you're up.
Yeah, and then I'm up. But I didn't captain Haaland. I captained Saka instead. Gabriel with 12. Munoz was another person I brought in with 6, which I liked. A clean sheet. Caicedo with 10. Well, we brought in last week.
Well played.
So, good. And then Gyökeres finally paid off for me with a goal. And he got a bonus point as well, I think. So, that's good. Second blanked, so not good. Miles in second, he's only third. Sorry,
no, I think I'm third.
Oh, right, you guys do it this way. How do I do it that way?
Oh, in the game week,
yeah.
Come on.
I don't.
You have to just look at the points and.
Oh, I have to, okay. So then, yeah, Antoine's in third, I guess, with 69. Yeah. Nice. Raya with 6, obviously. Gabriel with 12. Van Dijk with a clean sheet as well. Joachim Andersen with a clean sheet as well. Yeah. Very good.
Go on.
Bruno with the assist for 5. He has Dewsbury Hall to play.
Yeah, so Dewsbury Hall would have been... Actually, no. Kroupi would have been on the bench. Yeah, I just forgot about
the manager had a little bit of a blunder this week.
Yeah, it's okay. I had a blunder. It was after the Blue Jays game. I went straight to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
In second place, we have Teta Penitentiary.
Like, what? Why is he doing this to us?
That's Miles. Somehow, he had Mateta and Haaland, who both did really well for him, and Gabriel. His team doesn't really look that crazy, and somehow he has 70 points.
Yeah.
He just played Mateta.
Yeah. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
I feel like everyone's team is very template at this moment in time. Yeah,
pretty much. It's just about trying to get the differentials, right?
Yeah.
And look, and Jew, all of a sudden, in second place.
Thank you.
Very similar build, like you said, the other Crystal Palace and Arsenal defender, as well as a Liverpool one that all got clean sheets, which is great.
Yep.
And then Sar, the midfield's actually done nothing, but it was Haaland and Mateta who really shined for Damdanso.
Big up the strikers.
Second.
Big up. Yeah. Ilie Mandi gets a hat trick tonight. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
Which helps everyone except Antoine, so.
Yeah.
Ooh, that but would kind of be
high scoring in a Sunderland game.
As long as he outscores Dewsbury Hall, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it.
And wraps that'll do it for our FPL Roundup. That'll do it for this episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast, everybody. What an epi.
Great epi.
What an epi.
Good. Are we long?
An hour 10.
Not bad.
Good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. If you are listening on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, hit that little notification bell so you don't miss another episode of This Shithousery, and give us some hype because that exists now. And
yes, sir.
It matters. And it matters. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know, is Victor Gyökeres been a success this season?
Yes. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
We out.
See ya.
Oh, I forgot to say we out.
Can you give me a look?